This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's not always good news when an actor decides to make a record, but it is in Zooey Deschanel's case. You may have gotten a taste of her singing in the movie Elf, in which she starred opposite Will Ferrell. Her other movies include Almost Famous and All the Real Girls, and she's appeared on the Showtime series Weeds. She recently teamed up with indie rock musician Matt Ward, who goes by the name M. Ward. Their new CD, She and Him, Volume 1, features her original songs and a couple of covers. The arrangements are by Ward, who's also featured on guitar. Here's one of Deschanel's originals, Change is Hard.
I'm all out of luck, but what else could I be? I know he's yours and he'll never belong to me again. I did him wrong, so don't brag, keep it to yourself. I did him wrong. I was never nice, never nice, never enough, but I can try, I can try to toughen up. I listened when they told me if it burns you let him go. Change is hard, I should know.
Zooey Deschanel, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the new CD. I really love it. When I hear your album, here's one of the things I think about that makes me think that you really love music and have a fairly diverse record collection, and that you love country music and you love jazz and you love girl groups and the Beach Boys, and somehow like all of this is reflected in the songs that you write and sing. The song that we open with, Change is Hard, has a country-ish sound to it.
Mm-hmm.
And would you talk a little bit about what you were thinking about when you wrote it? What you were thinking about musically? Or do songs just kind of come to you?
I don't know. I guess I have certain sort of chord progressions that I'm attracted to. I don't usually come at it from the point of view that I'm trying to be in a certain genre, which is probably why it sort of spans a lot of genres, because I do have a diverse music collection and my taste is kind of eclectic. So I'll just go right into it and sort of start writing. It's sort of a spontaneous thing. And sometimes things come out that I'm surprised. I didn't know that I had that impulse in me, and then it just sort of comes out.
Well, the next song I want to play from the new CD, She and Him, Volume 1, is Take It Back, another song that you wrote. And this one, I wouldn't call it a jazz song, but it certainly sounds very influenced by jazz. Where does jazz fit into your musical background?
Well, I grew up, especially in high school, I listened to a lot of Ella Fitzgerald and Nina Simone and Billie Holiday and Stan Getz, Chet Baker, Anita O'Day, a lot of different jazz artists. And I think that, like, when I was sort of teaching myself to play piano, I mostly would go through the real book. I had a real book, and I would just go through and play all the songs. So I think a lot of, at least my knowledge of music theory is based in jazz theory and a lot of the writers of standards, Rodgers and Hart and Gershwin. And so a lot of my tastes are rooted in that tradition.
Well, why don't we hear Take It Back? And this is a song by Zooey Deschanel, and she's featured singing and at the piano. M. Ward is on guitar. He produced the record. They performed together under the name She and Him. And from their new album, this is Take It Back.
Take it back, oh, take it back. I don't want your loving anymore. Let me live, oh, let me live.
That's Zoe Deschanel singing a song that she wrote called Take It Back with M. Ward on guitar. Together, M. Ward and Zoe Deschanel perform under the name She and Him, and they just released their first CD. You used to have a cabaret act, right, before you were well-known in movies. What was that like?
It was just basically a friend of mine, another actress whose name is Samantha Shelton, and I had a cabaret act, and it was... It was basically just jazz standards, and we'd do a little dancing, and we had a 5 or 6-piece band, depending upon who was in town. And it was just kind of something that I liked to do when I wasn't working on movies. And I love to sing, and I love performing for people a lot in a live setting. It does different things for you than, you know, doing movies. You don't get the feeling of a live audience because the crew is always just so bored of what you're doing. And they're not allowed to laugh or do anything audibly to show that they're enjoying what you're doing. So it's nice to have an audience there.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Zoe Deschanel, and of course she's an actress, but she also sings and writes songs. There's some great evidence of that on the new CD, She and Him, which features her and M. Ward together collaborating. I think a lot of people were introduced to you as a singer through the movie Elf, in which you sang a complete song and a couple of excerpts, including Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to first play the scene where you and Will Ferrell meet. And Will Ferrell, of course, is a human being who was adopted by elves in Santaland in the North Pole. And he goes to New York to find his birth father. And there he works in a department store, Santaland, where he meets you, who wrap gifts there. And in this scene, you're in the department store, and here's you and Will Ferrell.
Are you enjoying the view?
You are very good at decorating that tree.
Why are you messing with me? Did Krampa put you up to this?
I'm not messing with you. It's just nice to meet another human who shares my affinity for elf culture.
I'm just trying to get through the holidays.
Get through? Christmas is the greatest day in the whole wide world!
Please stop talking to me.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone needs to sing a Christmas carol.
No way.
Best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Thanks, but I don't sing.
Oh, it's easy. It's just like talking, except louder and longer, and you move your voice up and down.
I can sing, but I just choose not to sing, especially in front of other people.
Well, if you sing alone, you can sing in front of other people. There's no difference.
Actually, there's a big difference.
Well, that's Zoe Deschanel and Will Ferrell and Elf. And a little later, you think, alone and singing. You're in the shower singing in the ladies' room. And unbeknownst to you, Will Ferrell is in the ladies' room sitting on a sink, duetting with you quietly. And the sound of the shower water is drowning him out. So you don't realize he's in there and singing with you until the end. So let's give that a listen.
So really, I'd better scurry. Well, maybe just a half a drink more. The neighbors might think.
Better thing.
Say, what's in this drink? I wish I knew how to break the spell.
I'll take your head, your hair.
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
And then you turn off the shower because you're pretty alarmed knowing that he's in there. It's such a really delightful scene. Did the movie have that singing part in it? Was singing so important when the film was written, or did they do that after finding out how well you could sing?
There was a singing part in the script, but it changed a lot. I think the writers and the director working on it when it was being cast. And then I know that Jon Favreau, who directed it, wanted to cast somebody who could do something well. And I think he was open to it being singing or, you know, something else. But then when they cast me, they knew that I had a cabaret act and that I'd been singing all my life. And so I think they sort of then centered my character a little bit around that and made it more prominent.
You know, in Elf, you say that singing is really private. Like, yeah, you can sing, but you don't sing in front of anybody. Mm. And I get the impression that writing songs for you is really private. And so it was maybe a little difficult initially to sing the songs you wrote in public. Was that more difficult than singing Rodgers and Hart in public?
Yeah, actually, it was really, I was really, really shy about it for a really long time. I mean, I've been writing music for years and years, but I would just sort of make these home demos that are sort of elaborate. I mean, elaborate for me, it would be like, you know, I mean, I would spend a long time on them and then I would just let them sort of sit around. And it got to the point where I just had so many and they were starting to sort of drive me crazy. And I mean, in the sense that I wanted so badly to do something with them, but I felt crippled by shyness about them. And it wasn't until I met Matt that I really felt like I had found, you know, just the right person to work with on this stuff. Because
did he get you to hear your own songs differently?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, there were songs that I was like, "Oh, this is just a little ditty," and he was like, "No, it's not. We have to make this into a, you know, big production." So it was really, it was fun to see. I mean, and then there were some things that I had written as, you know, bigger things, and then he made them more spare. And then some of them were exactly how I pictured, but he definitely gave me a new perspective.
And was Sentimental Heart one of the songs that he changed in your mind?
Well, actually, that was interesting because it was the first song we recorded, and I was really nervous, and we were recording in studio in Portland with this engineer named Mike Kirkendall, who's really great, and he played a lot of the instruments on the record too. And we recorded my voice and piano at the same time first, and Mike sort of had filtered it through an echo effect where you record the echo on the voice, and it made it sound really sort of lo-fi. And then at the end, we were all sort of just, I mean, I can't remember exactly what happened, but the idea sort of came spontaneously to make the ending hi-fi, like to have this song that sounds very innocent and very modest, and then have it sort of introduced into a new world where...
the Beach Boys world.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, that's just the end of that. That's me playing drums on it, because since the sort of basic track, the first track that we recorded was me playing piano and me singing, and normally you would probably record, you know, if you're going to use drums, you'd have drums before you start layering things on top of it. But since it was me playing piano, like, it's, you know, it sort of speeds up and slows down a little bit. So the only person who could manage to, like, figure out the wonky rhythm was me. So that's me playing drums at the end, which I was proud of.
And you're probably also singing all the harmonies with yourself.
Yeah, I sang all the harmonies on the record, pretty much, except for when Matt comes in and sings some sweet harmonies on a couple of the songs.
So let's hear the latter part of the opening track of She and Him. This is Sentimental Heart, written and sung by my guest Zoe Deschanel, who is also featured on drums.
Cried all night till there was nothing more. What you sent my heap on the floor. Even devotion, but it's just no good. Taking it hard, just like you knew I would.
That Sentimental Heart from the new CD, She and Him, Volume 1, featuring Zoe Deschanel, vocals, piano, and drums, and M. Ward, guitar. Now, you got your first movie role when you were still in high school, and I think you left high school the last month of your senior year to shoot the movie Mumford. Mm-hmm. What did you like or not like about that experience? I mean, obviously, you decided to stay in that world as a movie actress.
Well, I had an amazing experience, and I was still I was finishing school. I finished high school on set, and then it was sort of I didn't know that I would get into acting so early. I thought that it would be something that I did after college. I was all set to go to Northwestern University, and then I auditioned for that movie, and I got it, and I went up to Santa Rosa to shoot it, and then I had an amazing experience, a wonderful time working with Lawrence Kasdan. The director was it was a perfect first experience, because every day we'd shoot, 14 or 16 hours, and I'd be like, I love this. I never want to go home. I would get sad when they'd be like, okay, you're done for the day, and I would be like, really, already? And it was so much fun that I didn't want to go home. That was a great experience. And then I went to Northwestern University for a year. And partway through the year, I auditioned for Cameron Crowe on my spring break. And they were casting this movie, Almost Famous, and somebody had fallen out of they had it cast, but it was but the lead actress decided not to do it, and then Kate Hudson was supposed to play the part of the kid's sister, and then he bumped her up to the lead role, and then there was this empty role, and they were about to shoot, and I auditioned for it, and I found out that I had booked the job, and I shipped all my stuff home from school and on a just sort of a impulse.
Well, you did good. Let's hear your first scene in Almost Famous. You're walking in the door. You're still living with your mother. You're 18. Your mother's played by Frances McDormand. As you walk in, you're wearing this like big coat, and you're kind of holding it shut as if you're covering something up. So you walk in, your mother greets you at the door, and your little brother, who ends up growing up and writing for Rolling Stone, is standing in the room also, listening.
You've been kissing.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have. I can tell.
You can't tell.
Not only can I tell, I know who it is. It's Daryl. What you got under your coat?
It's unfair that we can't listen to our music.
It's because it is about drugs and promiscuous sex.
Simon and Garfunkel is poetry.
Yes, it's poetry. It is the poetry of drugs and promiscuous sex. Honey, they're on pot.
First it was butter. Then it was sugar and white flour. Bacon, eggs, bologna, rock and roll, motorcycles. Then it was celebrating Christmas on a day in September when you knew it wouldn't be commercialized. What else are you gonna ban?
Honey, you want to rebel against knowledge. I'm trying to give you the cliff notes on how to live life in this world.
We're like nobody else I know.
I am a college professor. Why can't I teach my own kids? Use me.
Daryl says that you use knowledge to keep me down. He says I'm a yes person and you are trying to raise us in a no environment.
Well, clearly, no is a word Daryl doesn't hear much.
I can't live here! I hate you! Even William hates you!
I don't hate her.
You do hate her. You don't even know the truth.
Sweetheart, don't be a drama queen.
You!
Hey!
This is a house of lies!
That's Zoe Deschanel and Frances McDormand in a scene from Almost Famous, which was Zoe Deschanel's second movie. So, you know, here's something odd that I read. You know, you were supposed to play Janis Joplin in a movie directed by Penelope Spheeris, who's made a bunch of movies about punk rock. And I thought, wow, that seems so wrong to me. You have such a kind of clear, pure voice, and she had so much kind of growl in hers, and your body types are completely different. Like, what were you thinking? What were they thinking?
I think that it was, they were looking for somebody who was an actress who also could sing, and I was thinking that it would be a really fun challenge to try to portray this person. I mean, our voices, yes, are very different, and we were actually supposed to go like a year and a half ago. We were all set to make it, and then it fell through due to a lot of sort of logistical things that I don't think I quite understand at this point. But it was a lot of work. I worked for like 6 months. I mean, it's definitely very different from who I am, but I really found her to be an interesting person once I sort of started looking into who she was.
So I have to ask you about your name. You were named Zoe after Franny and Zoe, the mm-hmm. famous J.D. Salinger story, which so many people have read. How old were you when you read the story, and did you like it well enough to feel good about being named after after the character? Because probably throughout your life, people have been saying, oh, you named after Franny and Zoe. So yeah. So how old were you when you read the story, and do you like it?
I actually waited a really long time to read it, because I had read all of J.D. Salinger's other works, and I was sort of terrified that I wouldn't like it, and that I would be living with this, you know, identity of a person who doesn't like their namesake. But fortunately, I loved it when I read it. And I was 18 when I read it. I read it the summer after I graduated from high school. My older sister was named after Emily Dickinson and Emily Bronte, and they wanted me to have a literary name too. And I think they liked the name Zoe, and they just decided to spell it that way, as you know, they love J.D. Salinger and they love that book. So I think that's why.
Well, they certainly chose a different period and different form of writing than your sister.
That's true.
Well, Zoe Deschanel, thanks so much for talking with us, and you know, good luck with your new CD.
And, thank you.
Yeah, thank you again.
It was really nice talking to you. Thank you.
Zoe Deschanel's new CD with M. Ward is called She and Him, Volume 1. You can listen to 3 complete tracks from it at our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.